Good morning to you guys. Good to be back with you. There's a story that it's one of my favorites. It's this little boy in his backyard talking to himself. He has a baseball hat on, ball in one hand, baseball bat in the other hand. And he's saying to himself, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And after he says that, he throws the ball up and he swings at the ball. And he misses. So he says, "Strike one." Then he says to himself again, "I'm the greatest hitter that has ever lived." Takes that ball, throws it in the air again, swings, misses. "Strike two," he says. Again, "I'm the greatest hitter that's ever lived in history." Takes that ball for a third time, throws it up, swings at it with all of his might, and misses. "Strike three," he says. "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the whole world." He had two choices. He could have looked at that, looked at those three strikes as a failure. Or, looking from a different perspective, he could look at those three strikes as a success. Just depended upon which side of the ball he decided to look on. Depending on what perspective he chose. Perspective is huge in life. Sometimes it feels like we're striking out. We're missing. And depending upon the perspective you choose, there can be lifelong ramifications. There can be lasting repercussions, all based on your perspective. And there's this story in the Bible that you guys know well. Two guys with very similar circumstances, in fact, identical circumstances. But they had different perspective upon those circumstances, and it led them to very different attitudes, very different byproducts from their perspective. The story? That of Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. He was Jacob's favorite son, Joseph was. Jacob didn't hide that fact at all. In fact, he gave him a coat of many colors. In fact, the reality of that coat was not that it was different colors, but that it had long sleeves on it. It signified something. If you worked and toiled in the fields, you would have very short sleeves so you could be free to move. The coat that was given to Joseph by his father had long sleeves. It meant he's a privileged son. He doesn't have to work. He's my favorite. He's got long sleeves on. The brothers would see that. They would know what it meant. And it caused there to be animosity between Joseph and his 10 older brothers. He had one younger brother, Benjamin. And finally, those brothers decided to do something about it. They took Joseph and they sold him into slavery into Egypt. Took that coat of long sleeves or many colors and put blood all over it and poked holes in it and took it back to their father Jacob and said, "A wild animal has killed your son Joseph." 15 years go by. Famine hits the land. The brothers are getting scared. What are we going to do? We can't feed our families. But then they hear word that there's food in Egypt. You can go down and you can buy food in Egypt. So they pack up, they head down there. And who should they meet in Egypt but Joseph? He recognizes them. He knows his brothers. They don't recognize him. He speaks Egyptian to them. They don't know who he is. He accuses them of being spies. He begins to test them to see if they've changed their attitude at all in 15 years. They ask him questions about, he asks them questions about his father Jacob and his younger brother Benjamin. And then he says this to them, "You guys are spies. And you're going to leave one of your brothers here. And if you ever want to return, if you ever want to come back here, you got to bring your youngest brother Benjamin. And I'm keeping Simeon as a hostage." And so he sent him off. And that's where we pick up our story. Genesis chapter 42. And we see in this account that you're well familiar with, the two main characters, Jacob and Joseph, having very different perspectives upon these events that took place in their life. And because they had different perspectives, it led to a different byproduct for the rest of their lives. First, we'll look at Jacob, his perspective, and what it caused him to feel, and how it polluted his life. Look with me at Genesis chapter 42, verse 29. We pick up the story here. The brothers have left Egypt. They've traveled back to join with their father in Canaan. And now they begin to retell to their father Jacob what took place in Egypt. Verse 29 of Genesis 42. "And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan. And they told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land," that would be Joseph, their brother, "the man who is Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid." They come back. Retell the events to their father Jacob. "This is what took place, Dad." Now look at Jacob's response. Jacob, verse 36. "Their father said unto them," first part of his perspective. He answers his kids. They've told him this story. So now he responds. The first part of his response, his perspective, number one: "Me have you bereaved of my children." The first perspective of Jacob was to blame others. "It's your fault, sons, that I've lost my children, Joseph and Simeon." He didn't know that. He didn't know that they were the ones that had sold Joseph into slavery. He didn't realize that one of them that he was blaming, Reuben, in fact, stood up for Joseph and tried to protect Joseph. He just blamed other people. It's hard days. I've lost a son. It's famine in the land. And so his perspective was to blame other people. It's your fault, you 10 brothers. It's your fault these bad things are happening. You've taken my kids from me. That was number one. He blamed others. And the second part of his perspective, after that, he says, Joseph is not. Joseph's dead. I can understand why he would say that. But then he goes on to say, and Simeon is not. Simeon wasn't dead. He was already expecting things to be bad. And then he goes on finally to say, and you will take Benjamin away. He blamed others and he believed the worst. Jacob's not, Simeon's dead, and who else is next? I guess Benjamin's going next. He expected, he believed the worst. Things are just going to get worse. Lord, you've taken Joseph from me. Simeon, he's as good as dead. Who's next, Lord? Is it Benjamin? Is he going to be next? I'm looking and expecting things to be bad. He believed the worst. Blamed others, believed the worst. Quite frankly, I can understand that perspective. I think my mom passes away 5 months ago. My brother, 2 weeks ago. And I think, who's next, Lord? Who's next? I can understand why Jacob would have this perspective. Joseph's not. Simeon's not. Benjamin's next. His perspective, blame others, believe the worst, what did it lead to? What was the byproduct of that perspective? Well, finishing verse 36, he says there, all these things are against me. The New Living Translation puts it, everything is against me. Because he blamed others, believed the worst, the byproduct of that was bitterness. This is a bitter, miserable man at this point. Everything is against me. The whole world is against me. Nothing is going right for me. How wrong he was. Simeon was alive. Joseph was alive. But because he had the improper perspective, he thought the world was against him and he became a bitter, miserable man. Everything is against me. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to have a Jacob perspective of blaming others and believing the worst. There's no way to live. Well, Joseph, who went through the exact same set of circumstances, he had a very different perspective. Flip over one page with me to Genesis 45. The brothers now have gone back for a second trip. They've run out of grain. They've gone back to Egypt. They brought with them their youngest brother, Benjamin, Joseph's littlest brother. They've gone there, and now in chapter 45, verse 4, we pick up the story. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God, verse 7, sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So verse 8, now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph, he had a different perspective. He had a but God perspective. See in verse 8 there? So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Not a blaming others, not a believing the worst, but a but God perspective. He was justified in blaming other people. It was those 10 brothers that sold him into slavery. He could have pointed the finger at them and said, you did this. Blame them for what happened to him. He would have been justified in blaming them, but he didn't. He would have been justified in believing the worst. Things are just going to get worse for me. What's next, Lord? Because that's what seemed to happen to him for many years. He went from privileged son to Potiphar's slave to a prison cell. He would have been justified in believing the worst. And he would end up like his dad. Everything's against me. I'm miserable. What a bummer. That's how he would have ended up. But instead, Joseph never forgot God. But God, he said. That's the perspective I'm taking, Joseph would say. I'm having a but God perspective. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a but God perspective? There are three different places you find Joseph's life linked with those two words, but God. The first is right here in chapter 45, verse 8. And that's part one of a but God perspective. Part one is this. Circumstances are tough. Days are difficult. There's sorrow in my heart, but God, number one, has a plan. God has a plan. He's in control. That's what Joseph is saying here. You guys didn't send me here. You didn't sell me into slavery. God had a plan. God knew what he was doing. God had a plan. He's in control. He is sovereign. That's the key. You want a but God perspective in your difficult times, in your hard days? Remember, number one, but God has a plan. Yeah, there's sorrow. Yeah, there's difficulty, but God has a plan. That's what Joseph says here, number one. Second place you find but God linked with Joseph's life is in Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph's dad, Jacob, has died. They come to him, they think, now that dad's dead, he's going to be mad at us. And so Joseph answers his brothers there in Genesis 50, verse 20, and he says this, what you meant for evil, you guys meant this for evil, but God meant it for good to save the lives of much people. See, number one, God has a plan. He's in control. And number two, God has a purpose. Yeah, you meant it for evil. Yes, this could have destroyed me, but God had a purpose, number two, to the difficult times I went through, to redeem people, to save lives, to restore people. Much of what we go through in difficulties, I believe, is to see people saved. Our enemy means it for evil, but God means it for good because he wants his kids in heaven. You meant it for evil, but God had a purpose. God had a purpose to save lives. That's a but God perspective. Number one, he has a plan. He's in control. Number two, there's a purpose, redemption. Number three, the third place you find but God linked with Joseph's life is in Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Stephen is giving a sermon there. And in verse 9, he says, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, but God was with him and delivered him from all his affliction. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And thirdly, God was with Joseph. God is our papa. Yes, circumstances are difficult. Yes, there are sorrowful days, but God is our papa. He's our loving father. He cares for us. God isn't some distant entity like the Greeks believed, up on Mount Olympus, periodically messing with the lives of mortals just for their own amusement. That's not God. God's our father. God's our papa. God loves us. And because he loves us, we know that his plan for us is right. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to second guess it. We know that his purposes are perfect because he's our papa. He's our father. And he loves us and wants the best for us. That's the Joseph perspective. Yeah, times are difficult, but God has a plan. Yeah, there's sorrow in my heart, but God has a purpose. Yes, this hurts absolutely, but God's my papa, and I trust his plan, and I trust his purpose. That's a but God perspective. So what did that lead to? What was the byproduct of that? In Jacob, we saw he blamed others and he believed the worst and it led to bitterness. What's the byproduct of a but God perspective? I believe you find it in the names Joseph gave to his two sons that were born there in Egypt. In Genesis 41, Joseph has two boys. The first boy, his name was Manasseh. What does Manasseh mean? Manasseh means forgetting. Forgetting. Because Joseph would explain there in verse 50, God has caused me to forget all my toil, or all my misery, or all my bitterness. Forgetting. God has caused me to forget those things that caused me sorrow and bitterness and misery. I've been able to put them behind me because I know God has a plan and God has a purpose and God's my papa. And so I'm putting that stuff behind me. I'm forgetting it. Paul would say the same thing in Philippians 3. I forget those things that lay behind and I reach forward. When you have the proper perspective, like Joseph, you're able to say, I'm forgetting that. I'm not going to let that hold me back anymore. I'm not going to let those memories pull me down. I'm going to forget that stuff and I'm going to move forward. Manasseh. He had a second son. His name? Ephraim. Ephraim, his name means fruitful or double fruit. Forgetting and then fruitful. I'm not anchored by that stuff. It's not causing bitterness in my life. And because of that, now I'm moving forward into fruitfulness. I'm moving forward into God's plan for me because I'm not anchored by my past, by those sorrows, by those difficult days, which Joseph could have been. He forgot it, and then he became fruitful. That's the byproduct of a but God perspective. We're all going to have sorrow in life. It's the fact of life. I like the way one comedian put it. He said, expecting life to be fair is like expecting a bull not to charge because you're a vegetarian. There's going to be tough times. There are. And we have a choice to make. We can be those that have a Jacob perspective, blaming others. There's always someone you can blame. No matter what takes place in your life, you can find someone to point a finger at. You can believe the worst. Oh, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Who's next? If you do, it'll make you miserable everything's against me. Nothing good is happening. That's what it led to. Or you can choose to have a Joseph perspective. Yeah, things are tough, but God has a plan. Yes, they're difficult days, but God has a purpose. No, I wouldn't choose this route, but God's my papa and I trust him. And that will lead to fruitfulness. That will lead to an ability to put that behind you and move on, forgetting. Perspective. What side of the ball are you going to be on? I know what side I'm going to be on. I'm choosing to have a but God perspective. God has a plan. And has a great purpose of redemption. And I know that because he's my papa. Father, I do pray that we here at Edgewater would be more and more the kind of folk that can view things from the right side of the ball. That we would have the proper perspective. That we would never forget you. Things are in your control. You have a beautiful purpose for our lives. We know that because you gave your own life for us. Help us, Lord. Help us to have that kind of perspective. In your son's name, amen. I want to say thanks for the letters, for the cards, for the flowers, for the phone calls. For the conversations. Letters that show me the but God perspective. 15 years down the road for some of you. You're seeing it now. In the valley, it's hard to see. But on the mountain, you get perspective. And so I appreciate that. You guys have blessed me. Thanks for the guys that went up to my house, mowed my lawn, mowed my field, weeded my planters, and took care of my swimming pool. It was looking like a swimming pond. That was huge. That meant so much to us. You guys, in a way that only heaven will reward, have filled the gap for me and my family. Thank you. God bless you guys. But your strength knows no bounds.